It's my honor to introduce you today to my rabbi, the rabbi of Lincoln Square Synagogue. An individual who's been in our shul for 2 years, but in the 2 years, he has changed radically the atmosphere of the shul. He's given us a lot of chizuk through his love, his care, his concern. And he's not paying me to say this, by the way. he's a dear friend. So he also understands chazanut and Jewish music because he spent quite a number of years in London. In London, as you know, there are choirs and there's the Blue Book and there's the chazanus is still as it was many, many years ago. He's got smicha from the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Shaul Robinson.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chaz. It doesn't seem fair to me that you should have to have rabbis speak at your cantorial conventions. A few weeks ago was the RCA convention, the Rabbinic Council of America convention, and as far as I remember, we didn't have any chazonim singing at our convention. So definitely the Derech Eretz is the Lomed Mikol Adam is on the side as always of the cantors, and it's a great pleasure to be here. We at Lincoln Square, of course, are truly blessed to have a cantor, not just an individual like the Chaz, for all of his contributions to music and his Shabbases, which are just wonderful, but also I think we'll all agree with his tremendous passion and concern for the cantorial art and for the welfare of cantors and for the institution of Chazanut. He is a wonderful example to all of us and all of you indeed who care passionately about proper Seder Tefillah and Nusach Tefillah and the tradition of Tefillah is something which is very, 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 very much appreciated, speaking, I guess, on behalf of the Rabbinate. I'd like to just explore one or two issues this morning. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you have a packed schedule, but I want to draw your attention to a couple of ideas. First of all, we're going to learn a little bit of halacha and then see whether or not we can't apply it to halacha about tefillah, specifically about the necessity of kavanah, of proper intention in tefillah, concentration in tefillah. And then I want to take a look and see how crucial, from a couple of non-halachic sources, how critical and crucial it is that the cantor is the agent of inspiration and kavanah with everything that means. And then maybe at the end we'll see whether we have time to tie it into this week's the coming week's Seder of Shlach. Let's take a look at the beginning of the Gemara here, and a Mishnah, in fact, from Brochos, Daf Lamed Dalet, Amud Bet, the end of the fifth parak. And here the Gemara, actually the Mishnah, is talking about the importance of kavanah and the absolute indispensable nature of kavanah, and makes a point directly relevant to chazanim right at the very beginning. The Mishnah says as follows: Hamispalel v'ta, somebody who davens and makes a mistake, loses a place, trips over words, the tefillah is just not flowing. It sometimes happens. Siman ra lo, it is a bad sign. It's a bad sign for him, as the Mishnah will explain. If you're davening and you're fluent in your davening, that's a good sign. If it's mitpalel v'ta, a mistake in davening, it's not a good sign. Siman ra lo, it's a bad sign. V'im shalech tzibur hu, and if he is a chazan, if he is a shalech tzibur, simun ra l'sholchav. It is not just a bad sign for him, but it's a bad sign for the people who he is representing, for the ones whom he is representing, for the community. And here, and this is not the issue that I want to get into, the halachic nature of the shaliach tzibur, but it's abundantly clear just from this line in the Mishnah that when a chazan is praying, he of course is representing the community. He of course is representing all of the people for whom who is in shul. There's actually a fascinating halacha. It's too early in my presentation to have a tangent, but we'll slip one in now at any point. There's a fascinating halacha that Shulchan Aruch brings in the laws of shofar blowing, Hilchos Tekiyas HaShofar, where it says as follows. Imagine, and this is a scenario, it's discussed by the Rishonim, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have a, let's say you're the Baal Tekeh in your shul, many of you may well be the Baal Tekeh, if you're the Baal Tekeh in your shul, and you have in your shul an enemy, somebody who you don't like very much, you get up to blow the shofar, and you have in mind to be motzi, to fulfill the obligation on behalf of the community, chutz me'adam echad, apart from one person. One person sitting over in the corner you never get on with, you never liked, you make up your mind, you're not going to be motzi him in the shofar blowing. What's a halacha? What's a halacha? Does such a mindset work? Nobody is yotze. Nobody is yotze from such a thing. Why? Because the shaliach tzibur is either the shaliach of the tzibur, or he is nothing. Or he is nothing. The same halacha applies to shofar blowing. Shofar blowing is just by an extension, shaliach tzibur. It's either the shaliach of the tzibur, or it's nothing. It's not him and him and him and her and her and her and him and him and him. It is the tzibur. And that's why, just going back to our Mishnah, v'im shaliach tzibur hu, if he's a shaliach tzibur and he makes a mistake, simon ra l'sholchav, it's not just the chazan's problem, it's everybody's problem. It should never happen. Next time you have a bad day, and you and the shul says, you know, chazan, what, cantor, what's wrong? You shouldn't say, I don't know. You should say, well, I don't know. Obviously, you've done something wrong. I wouldn't be having a bad day unless you've done something wrong. Simon ra l'sholchav, it's a bad sign for the community. Mipnei sheshlocha shel adam kamoso, because the person, a shaliach, is nothing other than a representative of the person who has sent him. Amru alav Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, another a famous line from the Mishnah. They would say about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shai mitpalel al cholim ba'omer. He would daven for the sick, and he would say, Ze chai v'ze meit. After he'd finished his tefillah, he would know who was going to get better, and who, God forbid, was not going to get better. Amru lo, minayin ata yodeh. How do you know? How could you be so sure? Amar lahem, he said, Im shkura tefillati b'fi, if the prayer that I uttered was fluent, Yodeanu adni shuhu mekubal. I know that it's going to be. I know that it has been accepted. V'imlab Yodeanu shuhu meturaf. And if not, I know that it's been thrown back at me. It's been ripped up. It's been rejected. Fascinating idea. And he would say, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, that he was so in tune with the way that he davened that he could tell how effectively his tefillahs were being heard on high. Imagine that. That's a mila for any of us to be in a mila. Now, we're not just talking here about the chazan and the role of the shaliach tzibur in a cantorial sense. We're talking about in a private tefillah sense. Any individual who daven, to be on the level of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, not only to be so, really have that knowledge of dalifnei mi ata omed, but much more than that, a real sense, and not only is a Kodesh Baruch Hu theoretically listening, but actively listening to the sense that you feel yourself in a dialogue with the Rabbonu Shalom. You know, if you're in a conversation with somebody, la'avdil, you can tell if you're getting through to them or not. You can sometimes have a conversation, it goes well. It clicks. There was a dialogue. There was a meeting of mind, a meeting of hearts. It was a moment of coming together. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa could tell that about his own tefillahs. And he could tell when the tefillahs were mekubal and when, God forbid, they were meturaf. Now that's just a springboard into what the Mishnah, what the Gemara goes on to say. So the Gemara wants to know, there's a lot of davening, even Shemona Esra is relatively long. So the Gemara asks the following question. What do you mean that if a person makes a mistake in tefillah, it's a bad sign? What point of tefillah do we say that? At what point do we say that it's a bad sign? What, the whole thing? When I stumble over a word in a piyut and in Tanitoke for something, that's a bad sign. What point does the Mishnah really mean that it's a siman ra? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Chiyah, we're on the second paragraph. I'm a Rabbi Chiyah, I'm a Rav Safra, Mishum Chad de Bei Rebbe, one of the Talmidim from the house of Rebbe, said, Ba'avot. This halacha is really stressed that if a person makes a mistake in tefillah, it's an avos. If you make a mistake, if you stumble at that point an avos, that's a bad sign. Later on, not such a great sign. Not such a terrible sign, but if you were if you make a mistake in Tfilas Avot, in the first paragraph of Shemona Esther, that's for sure a bad sign. Then the Gemara, however, wants to take this idea that the first paragraph of the Amidah Avot is unique and apply it actually to a different halacha. And this is a rather well-known halacha. And here's what the Gemara says. Ika de matni la abraisa. There are those who say that, in fact, this terutz of the Gemara, this insistence that Tfilat Avot, the first paragraph of Shemona Esra, is unique, and they want to apply it to the following brighter. Hamit Palel Sarich Shechaven et Libo Bechulan. A person who davens, and now we're talking about Shemona Esrei, and at this stage we're no longer talking about a Shalich Tzibur, although we're going to come back to the art of the Shalich Tzibur. Somebody who davens, Sarich Shechaven et Libo Bechulan. You have to have Kavanah through Shemona Esrei. Now the truth is, there is a fascinating Yerushalmi that discusses a number of Amoraim who were quite frank about their own lack of Kavanah in their own private tefillah. It's a fascinating Gemara. I should have brought it on the page. One of them says that I'm grateful to my head, because when I bow for modim, were it not for the weight, the gravity, the weight of my head, I would forget to stand up again. I'm so distracted. One person says, when I'm davening Shemona Esrei, I find myself counting the bricks in the wall of the Beis Medrash, etc. So the Amoraim were quite frank about the difficulty of Kavanah. But here we have a Braisa that takes a different view. And this Braisa says, Amar of Chi, Amar of Safra, Mishum, Abegvarden, Amit Palel, Sarich, Shechaven, Et Libon, Bekulan. If you're davening, you have to have Kavanah through the entire Shemona Esrei. That is to say, on every one of the 19 brachot, you have to be focused, you have to know what you're saying. If you are distracting, that's no good. You simply have to have Kavanah through the entire Amidah. V'im eino yechol lechavim chulan. What if you cannot have Kavanah for the entire Shemona Esrei? Then the Gemara says, yechavin et libo ba'achat. Then you should at least have Kavanah for one of the brachot. At least for one paragraph of Shemona Esrei have Kavanah. And on that ba'achat, on that one, that's when the Gemara reapplies a statement, Amar Rav Chiya, Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Chad, Debei Rebbe, Ba'avot. That is to say, you must at least have Kavanah during for the Shemona Esrei, for the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. That is to say, of course you have to have Kavanah for all 19. If you're unable to muster Kavanah for all, at least try and have Kavanah for Avot, the first paragraph. Or more realistically, what the Gemara seems to be saying, we'll see in the Rambam a second, is that if you didn't have Kavanah in the Yerushalayim Yircha, in Modim, whatever it is, you're still Yotze, you're still Davened. If you didn't have Kavanah in the first paragraph of Shemona Esrei, then that's possibly a different scenario entirely. It may well be that you're not Yotze at all. In fact, let's see how the Rambam understands this. And here, this is a fascinating Rambam, Bechlal, generally speaking. It's a fascinating idea from the Rambam about the definition of what Kavanah, proper intention in tefillah, is. The reason why I'm telling you this, or why we're learning this together, and feel free to interrupt at any point, is because I want to make the case, which I will do in a minute or two, that it's not that there is no further duty of a chazan to have kavanah more than any other individual davening. There is no special rule of kavanah as far as a shalich tzibur is concerned, but a shalich tzibur is uniquely empowered to teach individuals kavanah, to model Kavanah. And we'll see a couple of examples of that in a moment. Let's take a look, first of all, and see what the Rambam says here in the second paragraph. This is the Rambam Hilchas Tefillah, the beginning of chapter 4 of the Laws of Prayer. And the Rambam says, Chamisha devarim akvin et ha-tefillah. There are five things that are ma'akev, that interfere with tefillah, that stop the prayer being effective. Even if the proper time has come, the Rambam has previously just spoken about the proper time for davening. Taharat yidayim, your hands have to be clean. Kisui erva, you have to be properly dressed. Vatarat makom tefila, you have to be davening in an appropriate place. It has to be clean. Dvarim hachopsimoto v'kavanat halev. The last one, v'kavanat halev, and kavanah for tefila. That which is ma'akev, that interferes with prayer. It's actually interesting where the Rambam puts it. He actually places it here in the context of, just like your body has to be clean, and you have to be davening in a clean place, in a place suitable to tefillah, that you have to have kavanat halev. I would have put the laws of kavanah entirely separately. There's the environment of prayer, and then there's the content of prayer, the spirit by which you approach the tefillah. Rambam feels that just like, God forbid, one would never daven with dirty hands, one would never daven in a bathroom or a place which is not pure, not clean, similarly, it's just as unthinkable to talk about a tefillah is just as rejected if it comes without kavanah. Let's take a look how the Rambam then goes on to spell out this idea. You can't tell Balabatim this because they would definitely get the wrong idea. And they would look at this as a heter, which it certainly is not. The Rambam says as follows, and then going now on to the third paragraph, later on in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Tefillah. Kavanat Halev Ketzad. How do you get Kavanat Halev? How do you get to the state of concentration on prayer? What is it? Kol Tefillah She'enu B'Kavana, Eina Tefillah. Any Tefillah that is not with Kavana is not Tefillah. V'im Hitpalel B'lo Kavana, Chozer Mitpalel B'Kavana. And if you davened once without, if you said Shemona Esra and you did not have Kavanah, has it ever happened to you? I only ask, I don't expect you to answer, because it certainly happened to me. There have been occasions, thankfully not so recently, where I simply couldn't remember, whether I davened or not. It's a terrible thing to say. Did I daven Mincha lunchtime? It's 7 o'clock, trying to remember, did you daven Mincha downtown? Did you? It's a terrible thing. Imagine such a thing. So the Rambam says, if you daven without kavanah, you have to go back and daven again. Why? Because if I turned out that I davened and my hands were impure and clean, I shouldn't have been davening. I have to repeat the tefillah. Similarly, if I davened and it turned out that I davened without kavanah, I have to go back again. Matzadato mishubeshet velibo tarut asur lo litpalel anchid yashev daato. If a person finds that his mind is distracted, he's all in a tizzy. Asur lo litpalel ad shityashev dato. It's also for him to daven until his mind settles. As a personal reflection, I must say that any time that I the worst filler for me of the week in terms of kavana, without question, is musaf. It's the one I enjoy the most with the chaz. But my own personal Shemona Esra is always the one. Why? Because what am I thinking about during Musaf? No Kiddush. That's what they're thinking about. You're in Kiddush, I'm thinking about my drosha. Did I say it right? Did I say it wrong? I can't believe I missed that line. I should have said it differently, whatever. So a person who has got other things in his mind, it is inimical to tefillah. And the Rambam says, Libo Tarud, if you find yourself dato mishubeshet velibo tarud, a person is beset by worries, person, his heart, his mind is just unfocused. Asur lo litpalel ad shityashev dato. It is also for him to daven until he settles down. That's why there's a whole parak of Mishnah, of Talmud. Ein omdim. You can't get up to the tefillah. Ein omdim litfillah. You can't get up and daven if you're in an angry or if you're in an appropriate environment. Elamitok covered rosh, you have to have the concentration, etc. So the mindset about how you come to davening is critical. Lefika chabo min haderech. And therefore, and this is what you shouldn't tell the Balabatim. Lefika chabo min haderech. Somebody who comes back from a journey, v'hu ayav, who makes sor, and he is tired or he is, agitated by the journey. Asur lo litpalel ad shityashev dato. It is also for him to daven until he is settled down. It's also to daven until it's settled down. How long? How long does it take you to, calm down? It's not a question of coming. Well, you're Americans, aren't you? It's not a question of coming from the airport, having a cup of tea, and then going out to Mincha. Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said, Yishae Shloshe Yamim, Ad Shenog Vidkarer Dato V'Achachach Yitpalel. You come home from a journey, we're not talking about a weekend in the Hamptons, we're talking about an old-fashioned journey with camels or horses, through a hazardous journey. It's also to daven for 3 days until you recover and and then you're in the proper mindset to daven. This is a mocker, apparently, for the minhag. People go away on vacation. Even though they're back in the city, don't come back to shul. They presumably are following this Rambam that you're not allowed to daven for 3 days upon coming back from a journey. For reasons, for strict technical reasons, I'll explain in a minute why we no longer follow this Rambam. But the idea, first of all, that it's osur to daven. We know people, God forbid, who have certain medical conditions, who just has to be explained to them. Thankfully, nowadays, with technology and so on and so forth, they're fewer and far between. But there are occasions where it's simply impossible for an individual, not allowed to put on tefillin, not allowed to daven, just simply, they're unable to keep the body clean, they're just simply exempt, not just exempt, but forbidden from davening. But Rambam says that that is true, not just on a medical point of view. If you can't concentrate, if you are all famished in terms of your concentration, asur lo litpalel, how dare you? How dare you stand in front of the Almighty and blabber away? How dare you? You have no right to. The Chachamim said, you come back from a journey, don't you dare daven for 3 days because you simply cannot be, you're simply going to be going through your mind the reveries of the journey and the danger, etc., that you live through. How dare you daven? How dare you daven? It's a fascinating idea. Now, for all sorts of pragmatic reasons that I'll show in a second, we don't follow this anymore, but that's the ideal. The idea, the importance of Kavanah, that in fact, as far as Ikar Hadin is concerned, it's osur to daven without Kavanah. It's actually prohibited from davening without Kavanah. It's an incredible idea. Let's see how the Rambam actually defines Kavanah in a positive state. What it is that you're supposed to have. Keitzad hi ha-Kavanah. So what is this Kavanah that we're talking about? Shepaner libo mikol ha-machshavot. A person should empty his heart, his mind from all thoughts. Should picture himself standing before the Ravona Shalom. Lefikach tzarich lishev ma'at kodem atfila. Therefore, a person should sit for a moment or two before davening, kidei lichaven et libo, in order to have kavana for his heart. So, somebody who rushes into mincha, you're walking along, you're a wedding or something like that. You see people with one hand with a shmorg in one hand and a malt whiskey in the other, and they suddenly see there's a minion halfway through, so they turn around and they start davening like this with the, you know, the ribs in one hand and the whiskey in the other, whatever you. Not such a great idea. Sarid lishev ma'at kodim tefillah. You have to sit a little bit before tefillah. And in fact, I saw yesterday in the wonderful Yom Kippur machsa they brought out this year, the Rav Soloveitchik machsa, they said that the Rav was makpid to sit during Ashrei mincha. For this reason, because obviously for Shacharis and for Ma'ariv, you sit in Shema and the brachas before and after the Shema, so you're already performing this halacha. But for Mincha, they said the Rav was makpid to sit before Mincha, at least it said in the Machzer, in order to be mekayim this. Sarich lishema kodem atfila kedei lichaven et libo va'achak yibalel benachad ubetachanunim, you daven gently ubetachanunim with a supplicatory manner v'lo yasa tfila kumisha nose masui umashlicho v'holechlo. And your davening should never be somebody who's like trying to get rid of a burden. Thank God I davened. Again, to quote the Rav, who, and I don't want to misinterpret, I'm from the UK, I never, ever, ever had the chus of meeting the Rav or hearing him teach in person. They say of him that he once said quite pithily, many people don't want to daven Ma'ariv, they want to have davened Ma'ariv. And that's exactly what the Rambam says here. Kumi shahaya noise matu mashlicha v'holechlo. And therefore, an appeal from a rabbi to the chazan, which is there are times, and we should beg mechila, there are times, chaz, when the rabbi may say something along the lines of, I hope always respectfully, along the lines of, chaz, I just gave the longest drosh of my life, it's 45 minutes, it's 10 after 12, people are going crazy, you know, let's get a move on. That's wrong. Because tefillah should never be something which you just get through. Whether it's a private amida, or it's an act of communal prayer, it should never be kumi shahayanose masoi umashlichu v'holechlo, like it's a burden that you're just simply trying to get rid of. Laficha tzarich lishev ma'at achra tefila v'achacha chifta. And therefore, you have to sit again after you daven, and then leave. It's something which does take time, and the time and the concentration and the avoidance of that mindset of just simply wanting to get it done with already. That's the worst thing. And now's not the time to talk about it. We know, of course, that mindset really does affect. And I'm no, you know, it affects me as much as it affects the rest of, Jewry. It's not just an American thing. It's certainly the case in England as well. The necessity, the desire to cut tefillah services, to have them as short as possible, to get them done and dusted, get them over with, etc. That whole mindset, that's not what tefillah is about. Tefillah is not the first consideration in terms of the time or the length of tefillah, is not how much time does it give me in the rest of the day to take a walk in the park, to read the paper, to schmooze, to have lunch, or even as it happens to learn. Tefillah is not something which you're sort of supposed to, you know, squeeze in around your other daily activities. It requires time beforehand, it requires time afterwards, and the last thing it should ever be regarded as a burden that you're simply trying to get through. Okay, let's cut to the chase here. Hachasidim rishonim hayishorim sha'ach, hakodim tefillah v'sha'ach, halachar tefillah umarichim betefillah sha'ach. And of course, the Rambam here quotes a famous Gemara about the Hasidim rishonim, the early pious ones, who would daven an hour, they would prepare for an hour, and they would allow themselves an hour afterwards to come back. Rav Arya Kaplan Zatzal, in his book on Jewish meditation, points out that saying Shmona Esrei to take an hour over Shemona Esrei would work out as 5 seconds per word of Shemona Esrei. Now, 5 seconds is a lot for a word. And therefore, he suggested, there was a time in my youth where I used to try and do this. Therefore, he suggested that if you say Avos, please don't do this if you're the Shaliach Tzibur, in your private Amida, if you're davening your private Amida, to take 5 seconds per word for the first brocha for Avos is an incredible experience of Kavanah. An unbelievable experience of Kavanah. It takes 2 or 3 times to get into it properly, but it really gives you an idea about what a tremendous focus of Kavanah is. Now, just before we turn over to the second page, just note here that the Rambam tells us, what is a halacha? Just remind ourselves, what is a halacha of somebody who davens without Kavanah? Somebody who davens without Kavanah, what is a halacha? He has to repeat it. Turn over here to the second page. And the Rambam tells us a little bit later on in Hilchos Tefillah, at the beginning of Perek Yud, Mi shehit palel velo chiven et libo yachzor vipalel bekavanah. Again, somebody who davens without kavanah has to go back and repeat it again with kavanah, with intention. Ve'im kiven et libo bebracha rishona, but if he had kavanah in the first brocha, in other words, in avot, shuv einu tzorich. He doesn't need to repeat it. Now this, of course, here the Rambam, of course, is citing the Gemara that we said right at the beginning. A person should try and have Kavanah all the way through Tefillah, but at the very least, he has to have it during Avot. Now, we're kind of running out of time. We're radically running out of time, but I want to just point out to you, in the Rambam, between his position first time round, that Tefillah is Shemona Esther without Kavanah at any point is invalid, is contradicted by the Rambam here, who says that it's only if you didn't have Kavanah for the first brocha that the tefillah is invalid, b'dieved, that you have to go back and repeat it. As it happens, and I'm not telling you anything here which I'm sure you do not know, this apparent stira, contradiction, is actually the subject of a rather well-known, the second, in fact, chiddush of Reb Chaim Brisker, in the Chiddushei HaGrach on the Rambam, where he discusses in the Rambam that there are two types of Kavanah. One of the Reb Chaim Brisker's famous Hakiras, Trei Gavna, two dinim the Reb Chaim applies here in the name of the Rambam to Hilchas Tefillah, and says in fact there are two types of Kavanah. The knowledge that an individual is standing before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kavanah for the mitzvah of Tefillah, that is to say that I know what I'm doing, that I know when I'm standing and praying, all right, I may not be concentrating on every word, but I know that I'm davening, and I never lost myself in some kind of mental tangent that I completely forgot where I was. That is Kavanah. And if a person really is in the middle of Shemona Esrei and finds that they're completely lost, they can't remember where they're up to at all, they're completely lost, according to the Reb Chaim Brisker, that's one kind of Kavanah that invalidates the Amid at any point. There's another kind of Kavanah, and I've got it here on the sheet at the bottom of the second page. You can take a look at it yourselves. There's a second type of Kavanah, which is a knowledge of the words, an intimate familiarity, this sense, a bit like Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa had, a sense that you're in conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're actually talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That kind of tefillah, or that kind of kavanah, is of course the ideal, but it doesn't invalidate your Shemona Esrei if you did not have it, unless you didn't have it in Avot. The Gemara says that you have to have high-level kavanah for at least one paragraph of Shemona Esrei, which the Gemara defines as Avot, and that's why the Rambam says that if you had kavanah, if you davened without Kavanah, or beg your pardon, if you davened but you had Kavanah for Avot, even if you'd lost your Kavanah, you don't have to return and daven. He's talking about two different types of Kavanah. A basic Kavanah you need for the entirety of the Amidah, and a higher level of Kavanah, which is a understanding of what you're saying, a focusing on each and every word, that you need to maintain during Avos, and if you don't have it, it's as if you didn't daven. Let's just say a word about Halacha L'maaseh, and I'll wrap up with an idea connected to Shlach Lecha. Look here on the next paragraph on the second page, Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam already told us his view, which is you can't daven. if you know you're not going to have kavana, it's osur for you to daven. If you come back from a journey, you shouldn't daven for 3 days. And if you missed kavana, if you missed davening with at least the minimal kavana, you have to go back and daven again. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says here as follows. Siman Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph, Hamitpalel Sarich Shichaven Bechol HaBrachot. Again, if you daven, you have to have kavana with all of the brachot. Vim Einu Yechol Lechaven Bekulam. If you can't have kavana for all of them, lefachod yichaven ba'avot, then at least try and have kavana for the first bracha of avos. Ve'im lo kiven ba'avot, if you didn't have kavana for the first paragraph, af al pi shekiven b'chol hashar, even if you had kavana for all the rest, you didn't concentrate during avos, yachzor v'yispalel. You have to go back and daven. So that, according to Shulchan Aruch, indeed is a halacha, that if you daven without kavana, at least in avos, you messed up. You have to daven again. The Ramosha Isalis, ever the pragmatist, says, and this, by the way, of course, is what we rely on nowadays, but it's a sad commentary on nowadays, and these nowadays have lasted 500 years. Anybody ever hear, but have anybody had this chus of being in Krakow? Ever been? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. We should build our shuls like they built the Ramos shul. And that's a good idea. We'll tell our architectural committee. We'll build a, forget the round and the glass mechitza. We'll build the shul like the Ramos shul in Krakow. You'll love it. Va'idna, says the Rama, ein chozrin bishvil chisron kavana. Ve'ha'idna, nowadays we don't do this. We do not go back and daven because of a lack of kavana. Why? So he says, Sha'af b'chazara korvu shelo yichaven. What makes you think that you're going to have kavana the second time either? In other words, we, by definition, v'imken lama yachzer. Therefore, why should you go back? The Ramah here is quoting the Torah, of course, but nonetheless, it's just simply a pragmatic statement. Not that we've redefined tefillah as something kavana-less, but we've redefined ourselves as people who can't really have a requisite amount of kavana. Very interesting, actually. Under similar circumstances, if the Rambam were to meet us of our door, would he tell us it's osur for us to daven? We cannot daven because we can't have kavana? Or more likely, would the Rambam would agree with Reb Chaim's interpretation of his own words and say that we're really talking about two different types of kavana? But certainly, the Rambam just simply makes a very sad statement in our day and age, which is, generally speaking, we don't do kavana. We don't do kavana well, and therefore, what good do you have in making somebody go back and daven? In all likelihoods, they're just going to say Shemona Esther without any real kavana at all. Just turn over to the next page very, very quickly, and I'm gonna wrap up in just a moment. There's a famous, this is from the Mora Nevuchim, translated into English, the Friedlander translation of the Mora Nevuchim. There's a famous moshul that the Rambam has in the third chapter, the third volume of Mora Nevuchim, where he discusses prayer as being the presence of the king. The people who really get it are in the palace talking to the king. People who are nearly there are in the courtyards of the palace. They're in the palace confines. They're within the wall of the palace, and they're still looking for the king. They're still looking for him, but they can feel his presence, and they're definitely there. Many people, however, are outside the palace, outside the walls, Some are pointing in the right direction. Some aren't even facing in the right direction at all. The Rambam, if you like, breaks up humanity. Those people who have no conception of religion at all are like in the forest facing the wrong way. Some people are outside the palace looking for the palace. Some are in looking for the king, and some are in the king. And the Rambam really defines that as a person's life. And I'll explain why this is important in a second. Why is Kavanah and Tefillah important? It's important for two reasons. One, because halachically speaking, when we pray, when we have a dialogue, converse with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it has to be with kavanah, it has to be with intention. But it's more than that. Look at the following paragraph in the Rambam. Having defined the fact that it's necessary to daven with kavanah, that it's like being in the presence of the king, the Rambam explains that it's not just tefillah that is the case. A Jew is supposed to have his mind on a Kodesh Baruch Hu all of the time. That's what we are. If we believe Torah and mitzvahs, the idea of bringing Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just in the synagogues, but in the workplace and in the streets and in everything we do, Torah is about sanctifying the world around us. That means wherever you go, there is no place which is free of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever you go, a person should be concentrating on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do you do that? So the Rambam here suggests, and this is why in many, many ways I think that the Chazan is a powerful figure of Jewish education. How do you get kavanah, not just in prayer, but in your life? How can it be said that a person lives their life with true kavanah, true intent, mindfulness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in every situation? So look at the last paragraph here of the Rambam. We're just going to read two lines. The first thing you must do is this. Turn your thoughts away from everything while you read Shema during the tefillah. Do not content yourself with being devout when you read the first verse of the Shema, the first paragraph of the prayer. You notice here the Rambam again in Mor Nevuchim brings in this idea. When you have successfully practiced this for many years, try in reading the law or listening to it. To have all your heart and all your thought occupied with understanding what you read or you hear. After some time when you have mastered this, accustom yourself to have your mind free from all other thoughts when you read any portion of the other books of the prophets or you say any blessing, and have your attention directed exclusively to the perception and understanding of what you utter. And as the Rambam says, Kavanah and Tefillah is the beginning. It's the beginning of a mindful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will eventually take over your entire life. Have Kavanah in the Shema, have it in Tefillah, don't rest with that. Once you have an idea of what real Kavanah is, then learn Torah that way. Apply it to your studies. Once you have it in that way, the Rambam says, then bring it into your worldly affairs as well. When you say a bracha, but more than that, when you go to work, when you walk down the street, when you do any act, do it with Kavanah. According to the Rambam, the idea of Kavanah, of Tefillah, is important, of course, to define Tefillah, but it's more than that. It's a jumping off point for being able to define exactly what it is that a person is here on this earth for. And the ability to teach an individual to have kavanah, not just in their davening, but to take the kavanah that they've learned in their davening and apply it to the rest of their lives, their otherwise mundane lives, is a powerful, powerful inspiration. One last word, and with this I'll finish. If you look over the sheets, you'll see the next page is blank. That was obviously a mistake. But the page after that is just a brief excerpt from Parsha Shlach. Defining a Shliach Tzibur is an individual who not only represents the prayers of the community, but more than that is an individual who teaches, who models Kavanah, who is able to touch people so they themselves are able to daven with Kavanah, which is after all what a Chazan is. Who are the most effective Chazanim in Jewish history? Now, when some of you, we were together on Sukkot, I think a few of you there, we looked at some Gemaras about Rabbi Akiva and the writing of Avinu Malkeinu. But it occurs to me as follows. Some of the most effective tefillahs that the Jewish people ever uttered were uttered in Parsha Shlach. Unfortunately, they were tefillahs entirely misdirected and misconceived, and we still pay the price of them to this day. What does the Torah tell us? After the Meraglim came back, the Jewish people, of course, and where's the relevant posuk? Perek Dalet, Yud Dalet, posuk Av. Vani beinehem, beg your pardon. Vatisa kol eidav, yitnu et kolam. Everybody gave voice. Vayivku ha'am balayla hahu. And they cried that night. They cried that night. That night, because of the cries the Jewish people had that Tisha B'Av, we are still crying Tisha B'Av thousands of years later. Rav Soloveitchik again, Zatzal, said that Tisha B'Av is really because of the Meraglim. The Churban Beit HaMikdash is really just a symptom of the Chet HaMeraglim. Tisha B'Av was created by the cries of the Jewish people. tears never go unanswered. Because they cried, it's a sign that they were moved deeply within themselves. They were deeply moved. Unfortunately, they were moved to want the wrong things, but the utter sincerity by which they cried created that disaster which is Tisha B'Av. Therefore, arguably, the Meraglim are some of them. Now, this is not a model to any of us, other than the following sense. The Meraglim are therefore the model of individuals who are able to move other people. The ability to move somebody to tears so that those tears cause sincere prayers is one of the most effective, spiritually potent devices known to man. Unfortunately, we meet it here with the Meraglim, where the intention was wickedness, the prayers were therefore, they were sincere, but they were the wrong thing, and therefore the Jewish people were punished. But just imagine if it's true on the negative, how much it's true on the positive. When a chaz and a cantor is able to move a person, an individual, a kehillah, to daven with kavana, and more so to shed a tear in prayer, when a cantor is able to do that, touch people in the depth of their soul so that a sincere prayer wells up from inside of them, the power of that and the effectiveness of that and the eternity of that moment is incalculable. And therefore, my brocha, a brocha of a hedia to all of you cantors, is that you should carry on touching us, modeling what kavana is, modeling what concentration and inspiration is in tefillah, and move your kehillahs and entire Jewish people many, many years to come. Thank you very much.